This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Okay, it's hour number three of the G-Bag Nation. We have breaking NFL news as it is over. It's brought to you by Radio.com Sports, and it's brought to you by the new gas-powered Sprinter from Mercedes-Benz Vans. Eli Manning is going to retire.
The end.
He was talking late in the year like he wanted to come back and compete for his job. And I don't know, was he a starter for so long, and did he just not pay attention to know that no NFL team is going to let you come back and compete with the guy who just played pretty good his rookie year?
I think he figured it out.
I think he perceived himself as a starter, and then his agent might have had to give him the reality, as the offseason is pretty much for all teams at this point. And the teams that are in the playoffs don't really need a quarterback. So he probably said, hey, Eli, I love you. You made me a lot of money. We're buddies. I've talked to the teams that are probably in quarterback need, and I'm not getting back positive responses. They want to bring you in and be a starting quarterback.
Mm.
And so then the reality has set in.
Figure it out real quick after that. Yeah. Wait, nobody wants me?
Yeah.
The Giants?
Can't wait to argue about him in 5 years.
Oh, yeah, Hall of Fame. That discussion's coming up.
I was really hoping that he was going to win that starting job back, but it's unfortunate.
It would have been nice.
It was probably tough, too, because I can't remember his name, but the Giants just hired an offensive coordinator, and he came in, and he's like, Duke is the greatest school besides Princeton.
Mm, yeah.
And they're like,
I can see Garrett
Eli went to
that.
Ole Miss, and he's like, that's a dumb school.
Jason and Daniel are.
I want the smart school quarterback.
Oh, it's perfect. Now match made at heaven. They can talk about how great of a coach K is and how they have great degrees.
Yeah. So. God.
Such you know what, and I would like to say, while Daniel Jones had somewhat of a respectable rookie year, he didn't come in and set the world on fire. There's a really good chance they're going to be looking for a new quarterback in a couple of years as well.
Okay, sir.
Don't you think so?
It's up for debate for sure.
Yeah. It's up for debate. I think if I were the Giants, I would be encouraged by his rookie year, though. I don't think I would have been disappointed. I would have been encouraged.
Yeah.
If he didn't fumble a million times, it would have been a pretty darn solid rookie.
I would
year.
Be 50-50 on it. I see both y'all's
what
points.
A coward. Pick a side of the fence,
I'd
Mike.
Be like, hey, he's our quarterback. We drafted him high. We're developing around him. We're going to give it another 2 years. But I can see if Gavin was in the room saying, hey, I don't think he's the guy, I'd say, hey, you might be right, but we have to let this thing play out for at least one more year and probably two more years till we truly know if he can't play this position.
I mean, he didn't have a great stretch is all I'm saying. You know, he didn't put that Baker Mayfield rookie window together. He didn't come in and show like he's going to be the next Patrick Mahomes or anything like that. It was just, hey, he didn't totally screw it up, and some games was pretty dang efficient. Yeah, okay. How much did the Tyrone Crawford injury hurt the Cowboys season, though? And should the Cowboys want him back? A couple of interesting talking points here. There weren't that many discussions when he got hurt because he's not one of the Cowboys' better players. But he was better than what they were running out there at three technique defensive tackle for a lot of the year. He's maybe their second best run-stopping defensive lineman overall. Could play on the outside, could play on the inside, and is a great leader. You know, you talk about the things that really were bad for the Cowboys, and, you know, run defense, one. And then leadership of the young players. Would he have been a captain? Would he have been able to refocus a defensive group that was massively failing and was more preoccupied with their brand? I don't know, but I would have liked to seen the Cowboys have a chance with their best overall leader on the defensive side of the football. What do you think, Jeff?
I think it hurt for sure. And I think when you look at him going forward now, I want to make sure I'm not forgetting anybody, but once you factor in free agents, I would imagine your current starting defensive line for the Cowboys is from defensive right end working to the left, Dorrance Armstrong, Antoine Woods, Tristan Hill, Tank Lawrence.
That's bad.
So I think that today Tyrone Crawford is better than two of your starters at their positions. I think he's a better end probably than Dorrance Armstrong today. He's a better D tackle than Tristan Hill today. So there's definitely value in having him, but I bet you he's going to get that phone call that players probably don't love, even though they know it's coming, where it's like, hey, let's talk about your cap number.
Yeah, okay.
What do you want to do for us?
He's set to count $9 million against the cap. If released, he would only have $1 million in dead money. So, Mike, you would save $8 million in cap relief if you let him go. He would only cost $9 million, and he might be your second-best defensive lineman in your entire organization right now.
Great question.
I'm going to ask him to play for $5 million.
I'm going to let him go just because I can't assume at his age, after pretty much missing the whole season last year for the most part, that he's going to come back and be the Tyrone Crawford of 2016 or 2018, you know, the good years for the Cowboys where he had an impact on the team. I'm with Jeff. I'd like to have him back. I don't know if I can do $9 million that I believe he'll be 31 years old next year, or he'll be 30. He'll turn 31 during the season.
Yeah.
With the injury history that he had, he is an undersized defensive tackle. And I know we can put him at end in the system, but we've put him at tackle so much. So I think it's really worn out his 280-pound body.
Yeah.
To play in the inside for his career.
It was a labrum that gave out with him, right? A shoulder?
Yeah. So yeah. I would say, man, you want to come back after releasing you and we can sign a 1 year, $2-something million contract and you can be depth on our team, maybe, and maybe you get to play more, maybe less, I'd be okay with that. But I would be, I think it hurt the team, but I'd be worried that I would count on Crawford to be part of the solution in 2020.
He is their pretty much only player under contract that the Cowboys will likely consider cutting. And maybe a pay cut is the most likely scenario. I don't know. I think that's where you call your agent and say, what are the other teams going to give me? And if someone's going to give you significantly more, then you're out of there. I'll keep my fingers crossed with the Cowboys. They need all the help they can get up there on that defensive line. Okay, anything else on Tyrone before we move it along? I guess the shoulder was a little bit worse than what they thought. And he just had surgery last month.
Yeah, and maybe the other thing, too, which you mentioned briefly, is we don't have stats for his leadership role.
Yeah.
And this team lacked leadership.
Big
time. It lacked hustle. It lacked focus. It lacked a lot of things last year. And probably Tyrone Crawford being out didn't help, because he would be a guy that would maybe have to get in somebody's face and tell him, get with it, and he wasn't there to do it.
But beyond getting in people's faces, he's so well-respected that he's one of the few players that could have, like, the older brother just look at you like, really, dude, you need to get it together, and maybe guys would react.
Especially because we know he can fight.
Yeah, oh, yeah, he can fight really well. Yeah.
You know, he can get down.
He can get it done. Okay, it is the G-Bag Nation here on The Fan. It's not just Antonio Brown and the Kansas basketball team who are making headlines for violence in the world of sports today. Police in Philadelphia, leave it to Philly. They're investigating a complaint against Gritty, the Flyers mascot.
Oh, no.
Allegedly punched a kid following a photo shoot at a November event for season ticket holders.
You got a mascot that's punching kids? I have known a professional mascot, and I do know that in my experience, they're unstable.
Yeah, he was wild ass. I didn't know him as well as you did, but
yeah, in my
experience. You low-key talking about Rowdy, bro?
All I'm saying is that in my experience, mascots are a little wild.
Well, and you have donned the mascot uniform in the past, so maybe you...
And I don't know how people do that.
Talking about yourself.
It was so hard to see and know where you're going. That's something that must take a lot of practice.
I feel like in Philly, that's a raise, though. Like, you are our mascot.
Yeah.
You've done it. You just got an extra two-year extension.
We want you to beat up kids. Yeah. We want you to let them know that we're here to get rough.
These kids are unruly. They need training for the stadium. Chris Greenwell tells the Inquirer that his son Brandon playfully patted Gritty on the head after the photo was taken, walked away. Greenwell said Gritty left his chair, took a running start, and punched my son as hard as he could.
How old was the son?
13.
Okay, so I'm going to guess the 13-year-old didn't pat Gritty on the head. I'm going to guess the 13-year-old assaulted Gritty and was like, yeah, aha, take that, stupid mascot. And the mascot was like, okay, I got something for you, buddy.
Gritty'd been drinking.
Probably, take
the edge off a gig like that. Maybe some narcotics.
Gritty's like, $15 for this. He's like, I've had it.
Yeah, that's it.
What are you going to do? Yeah. Okay, fire me? Fine.
Guess I got to go home now.
Oh, man.
13-year-old.
I lost my $45 today.
I'm not out there getting roughed up by 13-year-olds. I don't know if you can punch them, but you got to figure something out.
Yeah, I'd sue back. I'd be like, hey, Dad, good thing you're in court, because I'm suing your ass, too, for your son punching me.
F those kids.
Patted him on the head. Okay, I want to see the pat.
A police spokesperson described the incident as an alleged physical assault during a photo shoot, adding that the investigation is active and ongoing. Mm. The Flyers have denied any wrongdoing by their mascot. They're sticking by their guy. This usually doesn't end well.
That's just a weird even statement to make. I guess if you've seen video and you knew for 100% fact he did nothing, you could say that. But anything other than that, I don't think I'm jumping to the defense of mascot who might have punched a child.
They do say here farther in the story, they do say they took this seriously and they conducted a thorough investigation and found nothing out of the ordinary for a Flyers mascot.
Oh, so that's either not in there
for a Philly mascot, right?
Or we're assuming it means he punches
people. They could probably say, hey, family, we let him go. He's gone. They would never know. It's a human being that we never see.
Fire his ass.
Hey, we told the parent that you're fired, but you're actually not, because nobody actually ever knows who's in this thing.
Yeah, I don't know. What could you get, though? That's an opportunity, isn't it? Like if...
pro sports team, you settle for a couple million.
Champ roughs you up coming up this week into the game. A couple million.
No way. They don't. Pay like the cheerleaders $6 a game or whatever.
No, but if you're a person who's suing a pro sports entity.
They're going to sue for a lot, but they're going to make sure that you don't win.
Yeah, I'd ask for 10 mil, and I'd be looking for like 15 grand. You know what I'm saying? Come up, you know, give the lawyer his little cut, and boom, we're having a party. Greenwell provided the Inquirer with documents from a chiropractor saying Brandon was diagnosed with a back bruise.
No 13-year-old's ever gone to a chiropractor.
Well, no, because usually they're not assaulted by mascots.
That's true.
That can get really violent. Okay.
I'm down for mascot fights.
Yeah, those are usually fun.
I think it's great.
Yeah, so often you have hotheads in their 20s, though.
Yeah.
And, you know, and
that's what's great about it.
To what you're saying right there, not only are they hotheads, but they're also getting sweaty. They're claustrophobic. Those guys get irritable.
Let them beat each other up.
Yeah. And you kind of got to be wired a little bit different just to get in there and want to do that for 3 hours.
Didn't the Stanford Tree get into a brawl one time? Didn't he get form tackled or something? It was glorious. Yeah. I'm pretty sure I've seen the Stanford Tree basically get the Goldberg spear done to it. And it was incredible.
He deserved it.
I don't know that.
He's been raising hell for years up there.
Would you rather, Jeff?
Mike, why'd you turn it off?
Because I was eating popcorn, and I didn't want that to go over the air. So would you rather, when you were at an OU game, Jeff, would you rather be the person that runs with the stagecoach with the horsies?
Oh, the Sooner Schooner?
Do that for a game. Or would you rather be the mascot, which I have no clue if they actually have a mascot at Oklahoma, like a person in one of those mascot uniform.
Well, they have Boomer and Sooner. They have two mascots. Okay. But I would definitely... Oh, yeah, here it is.
I know one of the old mascots. It was a girl. I know her personally.
Yeah?
Yeah.
They lost their drum major at Oklahoma, since you guys are asking about these things and clearly care. They walk the whole field as she leads the band, but she does like this bent backwards, crouch down, toe drag the whole length of the field. Now it's some dude.
Stanky leg.
Now it's some dude that's not as good. So if his family's listening, I'm sorry, but the old drum major was...
Figure it out, better. Drum major. Mm, yeah. You got an important job.
Mm-hmm.
That's it?
That was it.
Okay.
Right. Yeah, but they have two mascots. I don't remember what kind of animal they are.
Which one would you rather do? Would you rather run with the stagecoach, or would you rather be in the mascot uniform?
I would want to ride on the stagecoach, which they've stopped turning as tight since the unfortunate accident. They've slowed down a little bit.
But it's just a straight shot to the other tunnel.
I would like to ride on the schooner.
Okay, I would like to tell you it's winning time. Text the word OCEAN to 72881. Text OCEAN to 72881. That's your chance for a grand in this national Turn It On, Leave It On contest. That'll do it for the day, but you will have more chances tomorrow, starting with Sean and RJ at 6 o'clock. At the 6 o'clock hour, you'll have a chance to win $1,000 here in this Turn It On, Leave It On contest. We have Cowboys Twitter coming up next in the G-Bag Nation. Welcome back, G-Bag Nation. Hope you're having a great day. It is time for Cowboys Twitter. Top tweets going viral. Will McClay's been talking at the Senior Bowl and has team-building breaking news for you. Segment's brought to you by Fort Worth Community Credit Union. It's brought to you by the Kent Academies. And it's brought to you by our buddy Mark Rubin, 800 Lawyers. If credit card companies are blowing up your phone, do what more fan listeners do. Make the free call to Mark Rubin at 800 Lawyers. He'll stop all the harassing collection calls and stress. Mark Rubin, 800 Lawyers. Rubin and Associates. Okay.
Sorry throw from Justin Herbert.
Jeff's watching Senior Bowl stuff. I don't like what I'm hearing about these quarterbacks so far. It's a good year to not need one.
The Colorado kids, you don't draft him.
But how about Will McClay on Byron Jones? Quote, he is a starting caliber NFL corner. What? a really good player. We have to figure out his financial value and if it fits for us. That is definitely the kind of words they say about you with this football team when they're getting ready to let you go play somewhere else, if you can.
And unless his market value isn't what he would expect it to be, and then maybe you come back and, would you throw the ball to the open guy? Goodness, Jalen Hurts. Anyway.
Well, against Byron Jones, there's rarely an open guy, Jeff.
Yeah, it's a good point. And I'm telling you, what's going to happen here is they're going to decide that Byron Jones, they've got other plans with their money, and they're going to move on from Byron Jones, and I have no idea who their third starting corner is going to be next year. The Eagles, who have a bad secondary, are going to sign Byron Jones, and then the Eagles are going to win the NFC East. Get ready.
Well, you know, I can't disagree with you too hard, but if you're looking at it like turnovers or takeaways are going to be a massive priority for us, and you're looking at Byron Jones, and you could also spend money at corner on other players who might take it away, or draft somebody in the first round who can take it away.
I think you're going to have to spend some of that money on a corner.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Because I don't know if you're going to be really comfortable going into next year with Jordan Lewis, Cheeto, and a draft pick as your starting three without a lot of depth behind them.
And I would love that if they spend money on a different corner.
Right.
You know, drafting guys and feeling obligated once you've developed them to be good players to spend your money on them, and again, in free agency, I don't think that's what the best teams are doing. And, hey, I do think Byron Jones is a really good player. But to me, it's exciting that they're talking about maybe not bringing him back because of the flexibility and, you know, how different things might be with their team-building strategies.
You're not wrong, and I love the idea that their team-building strategies are about to be a lot different because of the new coaching staff, but I guess I'll look back and be like, so the guys that are homegrown that you wanted to reward were the linebacker and the running back and not the corner?
Yeah, that's a good point, Jeff.
Well,
hopefully the McCarthy influence would, derail those other two very big decisions that have been made.
Pretty much every website I'm going to as fast as I can does have Byron Jones as the top-ranked free agent cornerback.
Right.
Like, that's kind of undisputed. Just looking at replacing him, maybe cheaper, I wonder how much less Chris Harris is going to be. He's older. He's 31 years old, and he's kind of, as I'm going down the list, like, he's the next guy on the list. There's James.
Age might hurt him.
James Bradbury,
good
cornerback, Carolina Panthers. Yeah. But when I watched All or Nothing, they were like, our cornerbacks are horrible. That's why we had to get an LSU guy in the second round. And he takes horrible risk and he doesn't listen to coaches, but we're going to play him because our veteran guys aren't very good. So I don't know James Bradbury much, but I did watch All or Nothing and they pretty much complain continuously about their cornerbacks.
Yeah, that's good to know, Mike. The draft does set up well that at 17 there'd be good players there, most likely.
Yeah. For
good
corner? Yeah, okay, yeah, good. For sure.
What do you think of Trey Waynes?
I'd have to go watch him. I feel like he's been a disappointment in Minnesota.
How much more do you think, let's say, the three other guys I named versus Byron Jones, what do you think Byron Jones, if you had to guess, his market is going to be as a free agent versus those three other guys as a free agent?
I bet Byron's market value is over $10 million a year comfortably. So we'll say $12 million a year. And then maybe the non-top tier guys are $8 million guys. Just keep
and
good
what's
player.
The what's the top paid corner at right now? 15?
I think 15. I think right at 15.
Yeah. So maybe just over 12 is right for Byron Jones. I would think he's going to be close to resetting the market, maybe just 500 grand under it. And maybe that's why the Cowboys are thinking, man, if you're going to get that for corner, you better take it away.
So going to Steven Jones and his comments that we heard yesterday about Dak Prescott. If you can get Dak Prescott done and you get before the time that you have to do franchise tag and you do get the transition tag this year, so there are two tags, you could, if you get Dak done, protect yourself in a Byron Jones situation.
Now, I do got to be careful here because my New Year's resolution is to not talk Dak Prescott contract.
Yeah, you can find
a
way to do
I'm
this.
I'm using it to be able to kind of have a little bit of a lock on Byron Jones.
I mean, you could be creative with that first year to make it cap friendly, but that could put you in position for all three players to be hitting at, what, $65 million or something of your 81, and that would be it. And I think right now they only have 47 players under contract. They need to add 43 more to show up in training camp. So a lot of
UDFAs.
How about this? As we're going over Cowboys Twitter, Michael Gelkin of the Morning News, Cowboys VP of Player Personnel, Will McClay, on prospect of new deals for Dak, Amari, and Byron. So perfect segue here from that point you just made. Quote, I think it's going to be a tough deal. It's the NFL. When you have good players, you have to figure out how to pay them or how to survive. So that doesn't sound like something. He says, so that's what we do in the front office is try to figure out how to work these contracts and get the best possible team with those guys. We've got to go through that whole process. I'd imagine you've done that process. You probably had the process done for months now.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I feel like we heard about that at training camp.
Yeah.
Jerry and Steven were talking a lot about Amari Cooper and Dak and how it's like, listen, we have a feel for what we're going to do with a lot of different guys. And they probably plan on the wiggle room of maybe they're not all going to take what we want them to take, but they've got a blueprint probably 2 and 3 years out. Sometimes I don't like their blueprint, but they've got a plan for what they're doing.
You know, it's frustrating throughout this talking about, hey, we have good players and it's just tough to keep them all. 9-7, mm-hmm. 10-6, mm-hmm. 8-8. And the 9-7 was a little bit of a joke because you did play the Eagles and they didn't play the last game. So that was more of an 8-8 team. Is with all this talent, we never had a great record. And we did 13-3 in 2016. So I don't want to take that away. But the last 3 years, as this talent has developed supposedly into this, man, we just have so much talent. And now they're all coming up on contracts. And it's like, wait, are we? This is where I get confused. I think we are somewhat talented, but I just wonder how much are we overrating our talent because it never produced wins, at least the wins that you'd expect.
Yeah, I think it is a really good point, and the rubber's going to hit the road this year. If you don't perform, there's going to be no way around it. The Cowboys do believe their talent is now in its prime. It's one thing when you're young and 13-3, but yeah, now you're years older, you should be practicing and getting even better, but they didn't. More from Will McClay here off the Twitter account of David Hellman talking about their overall scheme. At the end of the day, we're going to stay within the same scheme. We're going to do things a little different. So our job is to go and evaluate all the players. They might want bigger interior players, so that's fine.
Let's go.
We'll go and look for that, but I think we're going to be looking for the same type of players.
Yeah, I'm going to focus. Well, Will McClay does, as Hellman noted when he posted sort of the screenshot of that quote, he will give you, like, he's not always going to give you a ton, so there was a lot of generic in there, but he did acknowledge bigger guys on the interior that, and that's different. That's different from what they were looking for a year ago and 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 years ago. So this is glorious. This means that finally I will be going home tonight and I'll be watching the Fat Boys. It's time to find a nose tackle. They'll finally, instead of us sitting there on day 3 of the draft talking about fat guys all day while they don't take any.
That's what we do. We'll watch one. We take two fat boys in the first 3 rounds. You know, we use another pick for maybe offense or a cornerback or something like that. And then we don't have to fight this stuff in court. Now we just call ourselves the Fat Boys. We take another group and we're like, we're the Fat Boys.
What song did the Fat Boys do? Were they the ones
they did that did
Wipeout,
song.
Or was that the Beach Boys?
They were much
out.
More of
they
a bit.
They redid Wipeout,
okay.
Right? Didn't they?
I don't know.
Here it is.
Can you feel it?
Huh?
I remember All You Can Eat.
Remember the movie The Orderlies?
Yes, yeah, I do. Yeah, that was fun. Yeah, they were much more just kind of like a bit, you know?
Yeah.
Kind of like the Mavs Maniacs.
They did the twist, right?
Yeah, that's I don't know what Fat Boys did. I just know I remember the Orderlies.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then that stuff.
Yeah. They got me beatboxing. Yeah. They were bad at it. They were bad role models for beatboxing. Okay, it is a Cowboys Twitter here in the G-Bag Nation.
Okay, I guess they just covered everything because the twist is Chubby Checkers.
Yeah.
Then I think they did it too.
They did cover it, yeah.
Speaking of the Hot Boys / the Fat Boys.
We're not talking about the Hot Boys.
Tank Lawrence tweeting, final thoughts. Everyone wants to make this about T-shirts, nicknames, on-field performance, etc. This is about a brotherhood and passing along that mentality to our youth. We created Hot Boys to help break out of the athlete box we are put in by the league. Team and fans every day. Wow. You're having to reach, Tank. Usually, I think Tank is right on. But
that was a big reach. Well, you know, because you guys just put athletes in this box where they're not even real people. But through the use of a 1997 hip-hop group's name that they stole, they are expanding to be able to help the kids.
This is all about the kids. I can't believe you guys are making light of it, Mike.
Yeah. Sorry, I didn't know. I mean, I didn't know it went that far.
This is a nonprofit, philanthropic, 501c3 organization trying to help the kids.
I must not be reading hard enough. I saw where Elvis took a lot of his teammates and donated a lot of stuff to Thomas Jefferson. Maybe the hot boys are out there just doing a lot of things for the kids right now.
Well, now they actually do community work, but I would argue that you don't have to come up with a group name for yourselves that you borrowed from someone else that you're furious someone else borrowed.
Maybe it's so you don't have to pay taxes. Like, you know, you create, you're like, we're not individuals, we're a business. And as a business, we don't have to pay taxes.
This Hot Boys LLC.
The Hot Boys t-shirt.
How much money did you make this year, DeMarcus Lawrence? I actually made no money this year.
We're essentially a church.
I'm part of a business.
We're the Church of Hot Boys. We play on Sundays.
That's genius.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, thank you. Mm-hmm. Okay, we go to the Twitter account of Zeke's mom.
It's also fraud, but it's genius.
At Welcome to America. At It's Mizdy. Happy half birthday at Ezekiel Elliott. See, only a parent remembers when you're 24 and a half years old that it's the midway point between your birthday. So she's wishing Zeke happy 24 and a half birthday today.
Zeke didn't even know. Now he has to go out till 4 a.m. and party hard.
Wait, it's not his birthday. It's halfway to his birthday. So she put something out?
Yeah, she put a tweet out for him. Love you bigger than the whole damn sky.
Is that for the clout? Is that for the clout?
Maybe.
183 days away, I guess. What the right? Hell? I think that's the halfway mark. Yeah.
He'll do anything for clout.
And Mike, I don't think that he needed a particular occasion to go have fun.
That just reminds us he's 6.5 years from retiring.
Damn. You think he's going to make that long?
To retiring. Okay. I think he'll be able to play till he's 30 years old.
Okay.
Yeah, but you know what? To your point, because I make this point, the way Zeke lives his life off the field, it's tough
to play that position and be that healthy.
Relax.
We shall see. Dez is still at it. A fan tweeted that he couldn't wait to see the news that Dez had signed a one-year deal with the Cowboys, and Dez said, "Me too. I'd love to see it. Wouldn't it be an awesome story to cover? The comeback of Dez for a couple days or so?
Yes, I want to be wrong on that 100%.
It would be fun to cover the story.
Would love for him to be capable and be on the Cowboys. Would love it.
Can you be on the team without being one of the best three wide receivers and just do your wide receiving job? Could they carve out a role for you? Because I think he could be around 500 or 600 yards short yardage guy.
I don't know,
because red zone or third down, but
your fourth and fifth receivers are on every special team.
Yes, they
play every special team.
That's what I was. Could he return punts? Probably not.
No,
he's not going to cover punts.
No.
So is a roster spot worth it for what he does? And
even
I think
like
there was,
Jason Witten blocked on field goals and extra points. Like he was part of the blocking crew for that.
I mean, there's only 46 dudes. You know, you talk about we're in a blowout. Let's take out our starters. You can't. You only have like two backup offensive linemen. So it's difficult, and every one of those roster spots are treated like gold. There's massive arguments between the coordinators and the special teams coaches every damn Sunday morning about these kind of things. I don't think coaches would be up for that.
I was thinking about Dez in the shower today. Just being honest, that's really weird. Right?
I'm sorry.
Yeah, but here's what I was thinking about I just got done listening to
upper body, lower body.
I just got done listening to the morning show talk about it, and Sean was like, "This is a joke. The people in Frisco with the Cowboys are laughing that we're actually discussing this Dez Bryant stuff as a serious topic." But I thought to myself, you know, Dez kind of responded yesterday afternoon about going to the XFL with, was it Russini who tweeted him?
Yeah, Diana.
Yeah, and he was like, come on. And I'm like, look, Hunter Pence went to Venezuela. Like, he got out of his super comfort zone and said, I'm going to go to Venezuela to play baseball for 2 months.
Learn to speak Spanish to try to stay in the league.
And I'm like, Dez, you just to drive from Cedar Hill, DeSoto. I'm not sure exactly where he lives. He might not live anywhere.
No, he lives that way now. What is that? Frisco
or somewhere?
Yeah, he lives that direction.
Trying to get to the star.
You just need to drive 45 minutes.
Get on the bush.
To go play in an XFL practice, you only probably have to play 4 games. After 4 games, the NFL is going to know if you can play this sport or not. And I'm like,
I'm sure David Wells has an SUV he can loan you.
There you go. But I'm like, if he doesn't want to do that.
Very low rate.
If he doesn't want to drive 45 minutes to Arlington to show up, then I don't know. Like, if I was a general manager, I'd be like, man, I'd love to see you play in the XFL just to give me an idea what you can and can't do. Blow these guys up because these guys most likely are never going to play in the NFL, and that gives me a better idea of like, okay, this guy's serious and he wants to play. He went and played minor league football.
I think the thing for Dez, like, he just needs to bottle the determination of this week and have like 20 more weeks this motivated and focused and just keep working and working and working. Like, going to the XFL, if you're ready, yes. But I, you know, the inside knock is that the daily workout routine isn't for Dez. And he made it to the NFL being able to work out every now and then and just be so gifted. So now that you have to do physical therapy to grind your way back, I don't know if he's done that yet. But if because when he tried to come back in November, nobody wanted him, will he decide now, okay, now I'm going to grind for this entire offseason? And at the age of 31, I think maybe by July he could have himself so lean and so explosive that he could at least be a 600 or 700-yard guy. Okay, when we get back, it's time to go around the NFL, all the top stories in pro football. Thank you very much, Lucius. It is the G-Bag Nation here on the Fan. Time to go around the NFL, brought to you by WinStar World Casino and Resort. Got you covered here on First Down. Now, first of all, Eli Manning has announced or is going to announce on Friday he is retiring. Steve Tisch, Giants chairman, saying he'll always be a Giant among Giants, even though he did look pretty stupid. Wow, that's a strong from the chairman. He must have been drinking this afternoon.
There's no way.
No, he said a bunch of stuff and talked about how proud they are of Eli Manning. You know, it's sad. It's kind of like folks in Houston right now who don't understand their baseball team's a bunch of cheaters. They just want to live in a bubble and high-five themselves, and they're doing the same thing in New York where Eli Manning is a Hall of Famer and an all-time great. So none of that extra stuff really comes along with the Eli Manning conversation there with most fans. I mean, sure, there's some truthers. You know, there's smart people in New York. I'm sure there's some of them that get it.
You know, for all the jabs that we take at Eli for being about as average as you can be and getting to stay in the league a long time and make a bunch of money and how he's going to go to the Hall of Fame, it does say a lot. I feel like that's the it's one of the great sports debates all the time is, Bassick, you'd put him in the Hall of Fame, wouldn't you?
Eli?
Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
8-4 postseason record, 2 good runs. I think they just put up a graphic. Most passing yards in a single postseason belongs to Eli Manning. So
you have to be close, I think, you know.
See, I wouldn't do it either, but that's just kind of how it works. When the lights got bright, he played his best, and you get to— He was famous, and you get to be— And he beat the dynasty twice.
Yeah.
Or his teams beat the dynasty twice, so he gets to go to the Hall of Fame, which I hate and I disagree with, but he'll go.
I'm a ball hog you here on First Down. I'm going to do
a
two-parter.
Kobe? And
I have some Kobe news for you, by the way, but not here. NFL's most underperforming units of 2019. This is from the NFL.com, Cynthia Freeland. And the Cowboys secondary makes the list. The most disappointing unit for the Cowboys, you could bring up a couple of different things, but defensive backs is what she says. No team allowed a higher completion percentage on first down than Dallas.
Sweet.
71.4.
So bad field positioning, can't stop the pass, and aren't good against the run either. What a great run they had this year.
They totaled just 7 interceptions all season, tied for fewest with Arizona. And while takeaway stats can be random, I have some additional context. Only 4 of those picks occurred when the defensive front did not get pressure, a total that ties Dallas for the fewest in the NFL with Arizona and Oakland.
Good job, defense.
They're really bad.
Special teams, turnovers. Great job, everybody.
Around the NFL, brought to you by WinStar World Casino and Resort. Here's Mike with second.
Okay, so our guy Pat Mahomes. By the way, if I could buy anybody's jersey in the NFL and wear it today, it'd be Pat Mahomes.
I'd go Lamb.
But why don't you marry him?
What's that?
That was an old joke.
Oh. Yeah.
And he loves ketchup. Okay, so this is from ESPN Stats Info, and I saw this the other day and forgot to bring this, and I bring it to you now. In his 8 losses so far, he has 8 losses in his career. These are his numbers in his 8 losses. 335.1 passing yards per game.
Mm-hmm.
He has 25 touchdowns and 6 interceptions in his 8 losses.
Pretty good.
He has a 71 for his total QBR.
That's good.
8.6 yards per attempt.
That's good.
Team scores 31.3 points per game.
That's good.
In his 8 losses, they averaged 31.3. Offensive efficiency rating on a scale of 1 to 100, 66. He has a 109.3 passer rating. He has 9.3 yards or AY slash A. Help me out real quick, Jeff.
What was the
AY slash A?
ANY?
Average yards per attempt.
Adjusted net yards per attempt.
Adjusted, okay. And in those eight games, you take his eight losses, that would rank him as the greatest quarterback in the history of football, and those are just his losses. Like, I know his, in some of his wins, probably his numbers aren't that good, but I just found that amazing when I saw that on Twitter, that his numbers in his losses,
yeah,
he's averaging 31.3 per game, 25 touchdowns in eight games, and only six interceptions. And I guess I say only six. It was eight games, so that'd be 12 interceptions in a season, which wouldn't be great in today's game, but wouldn't be horrible either. But, I mean, he puts up his numbers, whether he wins or loses, are the greatest numbers we've ever seen in the history of football from that position. So just thinking about the 49ers versus the Chiefs, even when they lose, they still put up tons of points.
Yeah, that's some of the fodder against Tom Brady as GOAT, which I'm sure Choppy will reference all the time, is you take the numbers that, hey, if a quarterback plays this well, what's his record? And most of them are like, well, if he didn't play well, they lose. And Tom Brady's team still always wins, where it's like, oh, congratulations on being on that team. But he is awesome. By the way, Cowboys kicker is kicking right now. And as I said, that I cursed him and he missed one. Rodrigo Blankenship from Georgia. Where's the goggles? Swag
is that right?
God. He's kicking at the Senior Bowl right now. Get ready, Cowboys.
I saw the Cowboys did sign a kicker today. Tristan Vizcaino, I think his name was. Going to expect to compete with Kai Forbath in the offseason. Here's Jeff with third down.
Okay, we got a rumor-ooski about the NFL draft. The Miami Dolphins appear to be enamored with Joe Burrow. Now, unfortunately, their coach is too good. Brian Flores is way too good a coach because he totally ruined their tank plan.
And then some.
I heard Hagee talking about this. It might have been earlier today. I don't know. I tolo all the time. But he should have got coach of the year votes on a 5-11 team.
Yeah.
Because I thought they were going to go 0-16.
They traded away and like then, half their good players.
Right. Then they traded away their best players. I was like, they're going to go -2-18, however that works. And they accidentally won five games, so they can't have Joe Burrow. But according to a report from Mike Florio, which means it'll totally be hit or miss, Dolphins owner Stephen Ross really covets Joe Burrow. And I wonder if you're the Bengals, we don't know what they think of these guys, but you would presume that they're quite comfortable picking Joe Burrow to be their next quarterback. Is there anything a team could do to pry you away from that? Because apparently the Bengals came out and said, well, you know, we obviously haven't decided what we're going to do with the pick. It's early in the process.
There's no way an HE double hockey sticks I'm coming off of Joe Burrow.
They chummed up the waters, though. The Bengals up the waters.
If I can guarantee 0-16 this upcoming season.
You guarantee Trevor Lawrence?
Yeah.
Okay.
I do it. Like, if I knew that I could put together a team bad enough to lose every game and make sure that my coaching staff knows if you win a game, you're fired. I'll go hire your sister to make sure we lose games. So your job is...
That was sexist.
She does have her cardio up.
A sister that doesn't care about football.
Okay, much
not
better.
Like, not
gosh.
Like some. Not
she's
like
good at fantasy.
Maybe somebody that has a sister that likes football.
Okay yeah.
Like my sisters or my wife, they don't care. Like, here, you get to coach this football team because I just traded the number one pick, Joe Burrow, for a whole bunch of picks, but I need to make sure next year the Bengals pick, let's just say, or the Dolphins pick, or the Bengals pick. I guess I'm the Bengals, so I traded it away.
Yep.
Traded away Joe Burrow. I need to be 0-16 next year. And the only way I win a game is if it's late in the year and we know winning a game doesn't hurt our chance at getting the number one pick.
That's what Cincinnati did. This may just me be going down with the ship here on watching guys in college, but if I'm the Dolphins, I got Josh Rosen for two more years. Let's just see what happens. What's the worst thing that happens? He's terrible. And maybe we could be the team that's in the Trevor Lawrence sweepstakes.
So they want to trade the...
They're at five.
Yeah, and they probably want to put the Pittsburgh Steelers pick in there to try to get up to one.
I don't think that's enough.
Neither do I. But
it's
I'm
not
just,
enough. I know it's not enough.
I'm just assuming like they give five and what is that, pick number 18?
5 and 18 or whatever that number is, and then you're one next year and something else is probably what it takes to get to number one, especially if the team's like, right, but this is we're picking our quarterback, so you're going to have to blow us away for this one. Yeah.
I tell you what, if you get tipped off, you said you're bigger on Tua T. If he would have never got hurt, what if you're evaluating the tape and you say, and then your doctors say, we think Tua T is going to have to sit out the 2020 season, but we believe with his surgery and all the tests we've done that he should be 100% for the 2021 season. And you have a great idea at number five, you get to take Tua T and you pick up two more first round picks.
Now, I think what you'd have to do is you'd have to tell the team, listen, what you have to do is you have to trade up to two and then trade to us, because we're not taking a chance that a guy that we're targeting will be gone. We're not letting anybody else
pick.
No
risk, no reward.
No, you got to come to two and then call us and we'll work it out.
The intangibles, the anticipation, the accuracy, it's all there with Joe Burrow.
Burrow's good. Yeah. He's very good.
I want to take a shot on that guy being the guy that keeps us relevant for a decade and
he's
a half.
He's going to save Cincy.
Okay, what the Mavs might be looking to do with their front court after losing a starter last night, we'll have that and the other top-breaking stories. Eric Nadell is approaching 75. And Fitzhugh, he's going to be here because coming up at 6 o'clock at our Performance Lounge, you're invited here at 4131 North Central Expressway. Please bring us a pizza while you're on your way, though. Eric Nadell, Isaiah Kiner-Falefa, Nick Solak, a big Q&A with Jared Sandler and Eric Nadell coming up at 6
o'clock.
I'll
go down there at 5:30-ish to pick up the pizza if you get here early.
There you go.
Oh, nice.
So Nadell's going to jump in and talk some Rangers with us. We have the top stories and Mavs coming up next here on 105.3 The Fan.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.